Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it is time for some critical thinking. We have had some interesting guests on recently, and we've talked about innovation. We've talked about the process you need to go through if you've come up with something new for your business or you're inventing something. It's one thing to have the idea. It's another thing to then implement that. A lot of thought needs to be applied when you do that, and so I've invited a very, very special guest today. Dr. Linda Elder is an educational psychologist, and her specialty, conveniently for us, is critical thinking and how to use that critical thinking to improve your life. And the website is criticalthinking.org. Welcome, Dr. Elder. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And your visit on our program is timely, as I introduced you. Now, this is your area. You've done this. You have been a critical thinker for a long time.
Well, I wouldn't say critical thinker in the sense that I don't think of anyone as a critical thinker. I've been working with the concepts in critical thinking, building in my own mind a substantive conception over a couple of decades. But I think of the critical thinker as the ideal thinker, something that someone that I'm reaching toward but will never actually achieve.
Okay, well, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're pretty close, okay? So, but I get what you're saying. And so, first, just let's give them a little bit of background. You've taught psychology, critical thinking at the college level. Is this right? You've done presentations to more than 20,000 educators?
Oh, yes.
Good
more
grief.
Than that.
Wow. And you've got a doctorate in educational psychology from University of Memphis and a master's in psychology. You are all stocked up on education. So, give us in a nutshell, if you can, and I know it may be hard to reduce it down to this, but give us a nutshell of what critical thinking is all about.
Yes. Well, first of all, there are multiple ways of thinking about critical thinking in developing a substantive conception. There's not just one definition. Second, there is no critical thinking is not yet a field of study. From an academic perspective, so it's still being developed, and we're still reaching towards that. But an agreed-upon way of looking at critical thinking would be this. First of all, human thinking left to itself can't be trusted to be reasoning at a high level of quality. In other words, we don't automatically think as well as we need to think to reason through the problems that we face in everyday life. So that's the first understanding. And therefore, by implication, we need to intervene in our thinking.
Isn't that interesting that we actually need to have a thoughtful process for thinking about how we're thinking about stuff?
Right. Exactly. So in other words, we need to think about thinking the way we think about, for instance, athletics, where we know that we're going to have to develop certain skills, and we know we're going to have to practice these skills.
So this process, as you implied, a lifelong pursuit, and it's something that improves the way we can really think about things and make rational decisions and separate the different parts of that decision and use that to be a better person, more effective relationships, more effective with business. It has a whole host of implications.
Yes, by implication. Human animals are fundamentally reasoning creatures, meaning that we fundamentally go through life reasoning our way through issues and problems. So we have a question, we're trying to find the answer to that question, we have a problem, we've got to solve, we're faced with a situation, we've got to figure out what to do in that situation. This is human life. And so when people say, well, I just don't want to make, you know, more decisions. Well, if you live a human life, you're making decisions every day.
It's unavoidable.
Right? So that means that we need tools for improving what we're already doing automatically. And so one of the conceptual sets that was developed many years ago by the founder of the Foundation and Center for Critical Thinking, Dr. Richard Paul, he put together a set of tools called the Elements of Thought.
Mm.
And what he said is, look, if you look at reasoning, there are eight parts present that are unavoidable and undeniable. First, whenever you reason, you have a purpose. We're not going through life without purposes. You have a purpose right now in this conversation, and I have a purpose as well. Hopefully those purposes come together here. We are asking, we're going through life not only with purposes, but we're asking questions in connection with those purposes. We are then pursuing information naturally because we can't reason through a question if we have no information, right? And then we're making inferences, many inferences along the way to a final, let's say, conclusion, if we're making a decision and then we're going to, let's say, act on that, potentially act on that decision. But then, so you have those four parts of thinking: purpose, question, information, inferences. But that's not all. You also have assumptions from which you are beginning the thinking process. These assumptions and all of these elements of reasoning are formulated by our concepts. So humans mainly think within words, within language, and we are trapped within these words often, and there's a whole nest of, you know, discussion there, right? But so right. Getting through the elements, so we have concepts, we have assumptions, we come from a point of view, and finally our thinking goes somewhere, or there are implications of our reasoning in all kinds of potential directions. Now, the argument is that we, you and I and all humans, are using these eight elements routinely in life as we go through the day, every day, and if we're thinking critically, we understand these parts.
I see.
We understand, right, the role they're playing, and we can then use them to leverage our thinking to assess it and then to change it if we need to.
So it's kind of a self-awareness about that process.
It's a self-awareness, but it's more deliberate than that.
Okay.
It's more like learning how to make what I would call intellectual moves.
I got you. You gave the analogy of athleticism and, you know, training your body to be a sprinter. It's the same thing with the way you reason and using your mind.
Yes, and I think that's one of the better analogies, at least for me. Now, for some people, it may not be a good analogy, but for me, it works very well because I think of it this way. Now, if I'm going to play tennis, if I'm going to learn to play tennis well, then I must learn the fundamentals, and I must practice those, applying those fundamentals in playing the game and in preparing to play the game. And I have to be willing to do that over and over again. And you see, athletes are willing to do this, but we as humans are not, quote, willing to do this with our thinking generally for two reasons. One is because we don't have this awareness that we're talking about right now. We're not having this conversation in human societies that we're having right now. So people really don't have a chance at this. They don't really see that this is a possibility. They don't have the theory. They don't have the language. But then, if they did have, as I do have to some degree, right, then I've got to apply those understandings in getting command of my mind, and I've got to do that deliberately, and so that I've got to start making certain moves that many people just allow themselves to make and they don't intervene in. Like, when I'm being egocentric and I'm thinking, I really don't want to hear what he has to say to me right now, then I need to recognize there's probably a problem with my thinking right now if I'm truly being defensive, because defensiveness is a feeling that comes from the thinking that whatever you're telling me is not something that I'm interested in hearing.
Well, let's do this, Dr. Elder. Here's something I do need to do. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come right back. Stay tuned.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm joined on the program today by Dr. Linda Elder. She's an educational psychologist, and the website is criticalthinking.org, and that's our subject, critical thinking to improve your life. And I've got to get this in, Dr. Elder. You've written a number of books, and I know you have one that's out more recently, 30 Days to Better Thinking and Better Living with Critical Thinking.
Through critical thinking,
through
yes.
Critical thinking, excellent. Now, let me kind of throw a curveball to you. One of the things I've heard said, and I read it, and I can't remember the author off the top of my head, but it's that sometimes what we'll do is we'll make an emotional decision, if that's the right way to frame it. We'll make have an emotional response to something, and then we will look to find facts or support for that decision. In other words, we'll find logic to support our emotional decision.
Well, I don't really think there's a lot of sort of science, cognitive science, and lots of studies coming out with different sorts of conclusions like the kind that you're mentioning now.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful because sometimes these studies aren't really thought through conceptually very well. The methodology may be good, but the concepts to begin with may be problematic.
Well, I guess
so
what I was trying to
think about. Well, let me just say the emotional side. If you think about the if you look at the mind this way, maybe this will help. There are, in essence, three functions of the mind happening in any given moment: thinking, feeling, and let's say wanting, to simplify. Okay, so you have desires, you have feeling states, and you have thinking. And all of these three functions, or these three functions, are concomitant. They come together. You can't have one without the other. So when people say things like, well, this is coming from your emotional mind or your emotional whatever, what they mean by that is not what they're literally saying, but they really mean you're being irrational right now for some reason. And so you want to pin this down, and you want to ask yourself, okay, what is this study really telling me? And is it something that I didn't know to begin with by reading the newspaper or just living a human life? I mean, there are a lot of things we don't need studies to show us. Like, one is that humans are largely irrational, because we just need to read the newspaper to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But where a focus on emotions is very helpful, and I think essential to living a rational or reasonable life, is in this way. Feelings are an automatic response in a situation. And they tell you whether things are going well for you or poorly or somewhere in between. You can think of the rainbow of feeling states, right, from the positives to the negatives. And so if you, let's say, are in a meeting and somebody says something that is in opposition to your view, and you find yourself becoming, again, let's say, defensive, you can stop and say in your mind, all right, here's this feeling. What thinking is causing this feeling right now?
And I think that's what I was trying to get to earlier, Dr. Elder, is that, you know, this concept that, well, we make emotional decisions and we look for facts to back them up, and that's really where this critical thinking process can help you slow that down and make sure that you are making a rational decision, to take control of that decision.
Well, I would say yes, and there's a lot of, there's some real insight in what you're saying from this perspective, and that is that humans, you might think of them as functioning at any given moment from one of these angles. Either I'm being rational, or let's just use the word reasonable, because some people don't like the word rational. So let's just say reasonable. And then another way that I might be acting instead of that is egocentric, self-centered, selfish, rationalizing, and all the things that come with egocentricity. Or I might be operating sociocentrically, so I'm trying to fit into this group. I'm trying to be validated by this group, and we can see examples of this in all parts of human life. So if I'm in a situation and I find myself being egocentric, and I'm going to have egocentric emotions connected with that. So if my infantile ego is not getting what it wants,
yeah,
right, then I'm going to act out. And you
exactly.
see this in business, right? People acting out, people
you
know, raising their voices at each other, and actually they're just little kids in a grown up body, really.
Well,
because they're allowing their egos to run them, and that is affecting not only the quality of their lives, but the quality of the people that they come in contact with, especially those people that are the closest to them.
Dr. Linda Elder is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, criticalthinking.org. Another quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Linda Elder is our guest. She's written the book, 30 Days to Better Thinking and Better Living with Critical Thinking. And there's a lot here. And I know we're just touching or scratching the surface. The website is criticalthinking.org. You talked Dr. Elder about in the business world. And of course, this also shows up in everybody's personal lives. And, you know, you can't really take the personal out of business, even though people say, well, it's just business. It's not personal. No, I'm still here and I'm still a person. So I don't buy that. But
I like that move. I agree with you.
But to provide some, to put some wheels on the pavement here, I think the thing I'm hearing you as I find myself listening to you and not conducting an interview, I'm really taking it in because I think the thing that people really have to have that awareness, and it's that training. And so I'm looking forward to reading your book myself because I'm going through certain decisions that I need to make about a couple of major projects I'm working on besides doing the financial planning that I do. And I need to make sure I make the right and well thought through decision.
Well, let me talk a little bit about the tools, and I've got the book in front of me here. The idea is that you can take a few pages and read it in the morning or in the evening and then begin to just make some basic, again, what I would call intellectual moves. And here are some, as you go through the day, so over 30 days, and then hopefully you would come back and spend a day, an idea per week to really begin to internalize the ideas. So here are some just bullet points from the book. So empathize with others. Deliberately target your purpose. Don't be a conformist. Think for yourself. Clarify your thinking. Be relevant. Stick to the point. Be reasonable. Ask deep questions and so forth. So we want to take one idea, take that idea seriously, and work it into our thinking, just like you would if you were learning to play tennis. Okay, right now I'm going to take one forehand stroke, and I'm going to learn that one. And so let's take implications, for example, because we've been talking about the barriers, and we need to be aware of these barriers, but we need to talk about also the tools that critical thinking brings to the process once we're aware of these barriers and are taking up the challenge. So we can take one idea that critical thinking brings to us, and that's the concept of implication. So how well do we think through the logical implications of our lives? For instance, if you are at this point in your life because you've been somewhere, you've been a lot of different places, and so now you are at this point, and now you're thinking, and your life, therefore, is going somewhere in the future based on where you've been and whatever thinking you're doing right now. Now, many people are stuck in the past. They don't realize that every time they rethink a negative, bad memory from the past, they're actually deciding to live it again and recreate it. That's just nonsense. Why not just not go back there again?
Yeah.
But a lot of this comes from psychotherapy and a lot of concepts that people have accepted uncritically that are in the mainstream, that are hopping around. And so we grab an idea and we'll sort of half-heartedly go with it. But we're not really thinking about the implications of the ideas that we're taking into the mind. So one of the things that we're aware of in critical thinking is the words that we use. What words do you use when you explain to your spouse that you don't like what she's doing? What words does she use back to you? What kinds of words do you say to each other? Because the kinds of words that you say to each other form your concepts about each other and about the relationship. And when you begin to really target those and say, I'm not going to let myself off the hook anymore on this. So when I say this, I'm really going to stand behind it. Or I'm going to realize that we're just in a negative dysfunctional pattern and we need to do something about this.
So there's a lot of deliberateness in this whole process.
It must be highly deliberate. You see, we all think, we all reason, but we don't reason necessarily well. We reason better in some parts of our life than others implicitly. So you may be very good at your job, right, and be a terrible parent or a very unloving, intimate other.
Interesting.
Right, well, because we're compartmentalized.
Exactly. Well, we're going to grab one more quick break. Dr. Linda Elder is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, criticalthinking.org, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Linda Elder is our guest. She's written the book, 30 Days to Better Thinking and Better Living with Critical Thinking. And her website is criticalthinking.org. And that's not all. There's a whole bunch of books, and there's a lot of great information because we're just scratching the surface today. We've got just a couple minutes, Dr. Elder. You know, I think one of the things I wanted to ask you is to leave us with is how critical thinking skills, we've talked about a lot of that. How can it improve our day-to-day life?
Well, first of all, realize that what we're concerned with at the Foundation for Critical Thinking is the fostering of fair-minded critical society. And if we're ever going to improve the quality of our individual lives, we must, each of us, take our thinking deadly seriously. And we've got to stop allowing our minds to just do whatever they want to do, to act in accordance with our vested interests instead of considering the rights and needs of others. And so if we're going to create these societies that are possible, the beginning place is me. And what I need to do with my thinking is I need to first take it seriously. Second, I need some real tools that are based in a substantive conception of critical thinking. There are many good ideas hopping around there, but they're often mixed up with ideas that are half-baked. We need a substantive conception because the mind is highly complex in certain ways, and we need to know what it's doing, and we need to be able to intervene. So we need the tools that enable us to get as much command of our thinking as possible. And when we do that, the quality of our lives improve in every area. Because we're looking at our purposes. We're asking, what is my real question here? We're asking, what information do I really need? Is this information relevant? Am I distorting something here? And we want to know the truth.
Right. Because if you want to go through that process, and then at the end of the thing, say, okay, I've gone through this process of thinking this through, and then there's an emotional component of it, but at least you've been honest with the process.
Right, there's always going to be an emotional component because we're emotional creatures.
Interesting. Well, Dr. Linda Elder has been our guest. We're out of time. We'll have to have you back. The website is criticalthinking.org. And Dr. Elder, it's been a pleasure. Very insightful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.